All right, 1 Timothy, try to get you in, get you out, Lord willing. Don't know how long we'll hold you in. It's hard, and you see God doing the things that He's done, not to be overwhelmed with how good He's been. I sure do appreciate you being here tonight, and hopefully, Lord willing, I'll give you something to ponder. I'm glad to be a part of a breathing, living Savior, but a breathing, living church.
Amen.
And to be a part of you folks is to be a real privilege for me. We left off this morning talking about verse 1, and I'm going to go back over it simply because a lot of our young people weren't here. But in the interest of time, I want you to come all the way down, if you would, to verse 13. Pick it up in 5:12. Having damnation because they cast off their first faith. That first faith is what they learned about marriage and remarriage and so on and so forth, and they cast that off. We're talking here in context about widows. And then he says this, and withal they learn to be idle. They learn to be idle. It's a learned trait or an attribute. You can learn to be idle. That's sitting on your dead behind and doing nothing. Idle. Wandering from house to house. You won't sit long. You're going to be getting involved where you shouldn't. And not only idle, watch what it leads to, but tattlers, also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believe hath widows, let them believe them, and let not the church be charged. Let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Brother Ray Coker, you pray, if you would, please, and ask the Lord to help us, would you? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, those of you that weren't here for Sunday school this morning, it's not that I gave a great dissertation on something that you probably do not already know. And this isn't just a Southern custom. In the first two verses there, you see an important thing for you younger ones to pay attention to. It's very important that you get a hold of it. The first verse right there, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father and younger men as brethren. What he's saying there to you kids is that when it comes to older people, show proper respect. In other words, you don't rebuke an elder. It's not just to a pastor or a preacher, because in a little while, he's going to say that if a pastor or preacher has to be rebuked, that you're to do it. But there's a certain way you go about the thing. You never lose your respect for the elder person. You live in a society where elder people are being kicked to the curb like a piece of trash. They're yesterday's news. They're not good for anybody anymore. All of a sudden now it's, you know, well, they're old people, just put them out. They don't know what they're thinking. They don't know what they're talking about. Well, they've been living longer than you've been living. You might learn something from them. You get around them. You say, well, they don't talk much. Well, maybe you might learn something from their silence.
Amen.
Maybe they don't talk much because when you get around them, you do all the talking. You know, sometimes you have a husband and a wife come together. Sometimes they'll come sit in my office and she'll say, you know, well, he never does say anything. And he looks at me like, there's a reason. And the reason is because she never does shut up. Now, sometimes, oh, that's funny. Sometimes what you younger ones don't understand is that there's some elderly people in here you can learn some things from. All old people don't smell. All old people are not fixing to die. All old people are not, you know, living back in the 60s and stuff. Some of them are smart enough to keep you alive. They've survived longer than you have. You might pick up a thing or two from them. One of the things you understand about old people is elderly people, people that have age on you, not just physically, but spiritually. One of the things you might want to pay attention to is they didn't get that way by being stupid.
Amen.
If ever you hunt very much at all, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I hunted years ago, I don't do much of it anymore, don't have the time to. But you'd see those old bucks come through there with big horns. There are not that many of them in the state of Florida, but some of the places I was allowed to go. And that buck's horns, well, he wasn't born that way.
Right.
He got that way after surviving year after year after year after year. And you shoot them, and when they go down, they got gray down around their muzzle. You can tell that old thing's been around a long time. You say, why? He learns how to watch for you.
Yeah.
The old Deke's up there. He's been watching for a deer for a long time. Been watching him all year. Last night's the end of bow season. And right there where his stand is, of course, his stand's more like a living room nowadays, but right where his stand is, the deer stopped just shy of where the shooting range was for him and laid down right there and watched him until 7:20 when the sun was down. And then he got up and walked up by the house like, na 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 na. You say, deer don't know that. Oh, yes, they do. They didn't get that big set of horns on them being stupid.
Right.
Now, what I want you to understand is that I'm trying to encourage you to bridge that gap, kids, and get around some of the older folks. And if they're weirdos, let me know about it. We have a place for weirdos. We'll take care of the pervs. But I'm serious. We know how to handle that. But don't miss the privilege of being around some old people. I owe old people. Both from my previous career and where I'm at now, that took time with me and shaved years off of what I would learn. You think, well, man, preacher, it sure took you a long time to get where you are. Imagine if it hadn't been for the old people. The old people took time. I'm talking about people way older than me. That preacher that I knew that spent so much time with me was 30 years older than me. He never made me feel that way. My dad older than me. A lot of the guys I got help from older than me. You say, well, you're not the poster child for it. Okay, that's fine. But let me just tell you this. Spiritually speaking, you got some good men and women in here. Now, there's a second admonition you want to pay attention to. And that second admonition is in there is that when you start talking to each other, you want to realize, guys, that every relationship you have with somebody else is not to have some kind of a physical relationship at the heart or at the root of it. In the biblical context of things, when you're here talking to the opposite sex, you're to treat her like a sister. And if you wouldn't kiss your sister, then you'd be thinking twice about who you're talking with.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes.
If you would follow that admonition, it'll sure keep you out of a lot of trouble.
Right.
It'll sure keep the weirdos from putting their paws where they got no business putting them. Now, I already covered that this morning. You can get the CD thing or whatever, the MP3 thing that they put out for you. But you need to pay attention to those two admonitions right there. They're important for you to learn. Pay attention. Get around some old people. Learn how they got to where they got to. Maybe they don't know a lot about the Bible. They know a lot about life. I knew an old woman that was up in Carolina. I won't tell you where, and it's not Mama Utley. And she didn't have much of an education. And she didn't really know a lot about Bible verses. She might even misquote them sometimes and quote them out of context. But boy, she sure did know God. If you wanted to get a prayer through, you get a hold of that preacher up there and he'd get a hold of that old woman. And before long, things begin to turn quick in your life. You say, why? That old woman could grab the horns of the altar and say, Lord, I don't know about all this and that and the other, but could I get a prayer through? And buddy, I mean, I'm talking like that. I've been around Mama Utley on many an occasion like that, and I just feel strange around her because I say something about praying. It's as if she doesn't even have to walk through the door. It's like she's already in there. She starts talking to him like she's been talking to him all day. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to have that kind of a relationship where I just pick up where I left off. I don't have to, our Father, I come before you now and all that. It's like she never left. Now, you can't learn that from your peers. And I realize it's good to have friends and good to have pals, and that's a great thing. And if you have, and some of you do, you have some close friends that you grow up with and you sprout with. They become litter mates and so on and so forth. That's a great thing. I'm not taking away from that. But you can't learn from your little mates.
Amen.
You got to learn from older people. That's why when you go to school, have you ever noticed when you go to first grade, is your teacher a couple of years older than you? There's a reason. You know why? Because they know more than you. Now that thing applies to you spiritually also. Now let me give you just a couple of hard things here, and I'm sure you'll take them pretty well. But I want you to notice we're talking in the context here of widows and how they're to be taken care of and what the qualifications are. And I went over that stuff with you this morning. And then the damnation there has nothing to do with spiritual damnation. It has to do with physical damnation. I want you to pick it up in verse 13, with all they learn to be idle. Do you realize if you get lazy, you can learn to be lazy? By just not doing anything. It can be so natural for you that you wouldn't, they used to say, he wouldn't hit a lick at a snake if it was about to bite him. What that is, if you're a country boy, you understand that snake is revved up there and fixing to pop you. You got an axe handle in your hand or something like that. And you're so lazy, you wouldn't even brush the snake off before he would pop you. laziness spiritually is not just what I'm referring to. Here it has to do with a widow that's been taken care of because she's not properly applying herself, and she's used that opportunity, welfare on her part, to become lazy. And then before long, she's learned to be idle. That means what? Do nothing. The car's in neutral. The car's in park. It's going nowhere. Just sitting there, just idling. And before long, you know what happens? They wound up in somebody else's house. That passage in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 said that they creep into houses and lead captive silly women. I didn't say that. Silly women's an idle woman. I don't know very many good women that sit around idle all day. If you're stupid enough, sir, to go to work all day and your wife's at home, you walk in and say, "What have you been doing all day?" You're an idiot. You say, why? You wouldn't want to trade places with her. She doesn't have somebody to tell her to wash the sheets and to vacuum the thing and wipe up the baseboards. And say, well, my wife don't do all that. Well, okay, I'll pray for you. But and cook the meal and go to the grocery store and handle the kids and do all that other kind of stuff. Or if she works a job, then come home and try to take care of you too. I'm talking about a woman that just sits around all day long and, you know, eats bonbons and eats donuts and, you know, drinks coffee and watches as her stomach burns and yearns and, you know, turns upside down and, you know, all that kind of as the world pukes and all that other kind of a deal, and sits around and involves herself house to house, creeps into the houses. What? Ah, social media. Now it's going to get uncomfortable for you. I told you this morning, the Bible said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your works. In other words, you ought to not worry about somebody watching you. And if somebody's watched you and you're mad about it, it's because they caught you doing something you know you shouldn't have been doing in the first place. And don't say it isn't. It'd have been better if you hadn't have done it. Okay, you learned your lesson now. But now here's the bigger part of that thing. A busybody is an individual that officiously, that means in an inordinate manner, overly exercising their interest in other people's lives. Why, modern media just lives on that now. I don't care if you watch Fair and Balanced or which one you watch. They make a news report out of sticking their nose in people's personal life. And then they make a newsreel out of it. And they make that news. Going to war with China, that's news. Somebody picking up some hooker downtown on such and such when he was in high school, that ain't news, that's gossip. Amen. That's trash. That's somebody trying to win an election, whether it's true or not true. Oh, why do you run? You say, why do they run those kinds of stories? Because you watch it. Yes. If you turned off the TV, the Nielsen ratings would drop right and left, and they would quit marketing. And when marketing drops, they'd stop running and say, well, what do they want? They want to hear about earthquakes, and they want to hear about hurricanes, and they want to hear about things that are troubling them, like somebody throwing a nuke our way. But they don't want to hear any of this stuff anymore about what's going on and who's getting who and who did this and who did that and all that. If you turned it off, they wouldn't listen anymore. And ladies and gentlemen, in the church, you know what you would learn? You would learn how quickly that pond would dry up if you would stop contributing to the pond.
Amen.
That Bible teaches you that where there is no wood, the fire goes out. You say, well, they just keep talking. Stop listening.
Yes.
You know what you say to them? I'm not interested. I don't want to hear it. Well, they passed it on. Well, that ain't none of your business. The issue is don't say it in the first place. Yeah, I thought it'd go over a little better than that. We've had a happy day today. Well, preacher, don't ruin the day. Okay, well, come to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. The busiest bodies are those people that are idle. Thus, the individuals that are always in, they ain't got anything else to do. They ain't got. They don't have anything else to do. I'm trying to do better. I'm learning. But here's the thing. I've learned this. When you don't have anything else to do, you know what you spend your time doing? Looking at what everybody else is doing. A fella asked me one time, he said, you know, preacher, did you hear about so-and-so? I said, no. He said, did you want? I said, brother, listen, I don't. My plate's so full right now, I don't even have time to even think about what it is or how the comment would be. I am not going to have anything to do with the outcome of whatever it is you're about to tell me. It's not going to affect me one way or another, and they're not going to ask me my opinion. So could you just do me a favor? Don't load my plate. Plate's full. You know, he said, well, I mean, I just thought you might be. I said, I'm not interested, brother. I'm not interested in something that I am not going to be able to help the person. And why would you be telling me otherwise? Right. Now, listen, I don't hold the blue ribbon. I'm not the one who got the gold Stanley Cup or whatever for always being able to cut it off. But I have learned this. I've learned, you'd be surprised how quickly I can cut my phone calls in half from people that just have to let me know they know.
Yes,
okay, well, now I know you know. That and $4 will buy you a cup of coffee. Some of the stuff they buy me around here, I don't know what that stuff is they put in that stuff, but it's like, man, when you drink it, it's more than shoe leather ground down to a fine, fare thee well. Y'all are spiking that coffee or something. I don't mean with liquor. I mean, you're like calling for shots or something like that. The first time I heard him say, yeah, give me this and a shot. And I'm thinking, man, putting liquor in your coffee early in the morning, man, like that. And the guy goes, no, man, this is better than liquor. It's espresso. Yeah. And I'm like, man, that guy had that much espresso in the bottom of a cup and then he filled it with regular coffee. I'm like, man, if I ate that, man, I would literally break my teeth off. I'd be get on an airplane like, let me fly it, man. Problem with the wings? No problem, baby. I'm good. I don't know what the deal is with that stuff. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things you want to watch out for is idleness will always lead you into an area you shouldn't. Now, boys, I'm going to give you something straight up. You hear me? When you get idle, you won't get in somebody else's business. You'll be looking where you got no business looking. That'll be your problem, boys. Come on, boys. Be with me. That's where you'll go. Women, you know where you'll go? You'll go running somebody else's backyard and somebody else's business and what somebody else is doing, somebody getting attention. You say, why? If the Bible's right, you're an attention seeker. So you know what you'll do? You start looking into somebody else's business and broadcasting it because it makes you look good. I told that fellow, I said, listen, brother, the old preacher taught me that if I rejoice any time because a saint falls, then the Lord's going to knock me in the head. I said, you may be fixing to tell me about somebody that I know doesn't care for me. It'll just be better for me not to hear it. Amen. You say, why? I know me. Yes. Now, you might be, oh, well, praise the Lord, I'll pray for him. I may be like, yeah, about time, you know. Now, see, you're different than me. You'd be like, oh, I would never do that. I'm just telling you, I might be the other. So it's just better for me not to hear it. Yes. Well, don't you need to know? If I need to know, tell me. Yes. If not, tell him.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 11, look if you will, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. I got a few men around here that I spend some time talking to about certain things that are of necessity that they remain on the what you'd call down low. It's not in the sense of it's a secret, you know, that there's something illegal or immoral. There's just some things that don't need to be discussed in public.
Amen.
There's just some things that you need to be able to tell somebody and it needs to stop right there.
Yeah.
But if you know what you find out pretty quick, come to Proverbs 19, you know, or 20. You know what you find out pretty quick? You find out real quick if you can tell somebody and they can't keep their mouth shut, then they have an ulterior motive. Now, some of you folks have trusted me with a lot of pretty serious things. I hope to the Lord you realize that and never gotten back out. I don't even tell her. You say, why? She don't need to bear that, carry that weight. I say, I'm going to be meeting with so-and-so. She'll say, okay, I'll get in the car. I'll say, now what was going on? She said, I'm good. You say, well, now I really, it takes time. But there's a few things that her and I have that are between the two of us.
Right.
You have a secret? Yes. And if she opens her mouth, you destroy the one thing that every marriage must have.
Yes. Amen.
It's trust.
Yes.
So when somebody trusts you to tell you something, then let them earn that trust by keeping your cotton picking mouth shut.
Amen.
These guys that are in here that have been in homicide, he was there for a long time. Brother Monroe's been in homicide for a number of years. Brother Padgett in homicide. You know, you'd be surprised how many of those cases, when you go over those cold cases, how many of those people would have got away with murder if they could have kept their mouth shut. They can't keep their mouth shut. You know, one of the things you have to watch whenever you're starting to talk about fellowship with the Lord, he says, watch and pray and watch that you enter not into temptation and all that. You know what you have to learn to do? You have to learn to watch your words. You have to pay attention to what you're saying. You say, what is a talebearer? Somebody that can't wait to tell a tale. True or not, doesn't matter. You just can't wait to tell. Just can't wait to tell. Just can't wait to tell. I'm in the passage here. This is what happened to a widow who doesn't occupy her time properly. Listen, I'm wore out with these people who think that you should just sit around the house or you're going to get in trouble. Oh boy, you're going to get in trouble. Get busy. Pick up a book and read. Well, I don't read. Grab a shovel. Well, I'm a woman. Okay. Grab two. When you wear one out, then you'll have another one to back you up. Look in Proverbs chapter number 20. Pick it up in 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Now it's all through there. He talks about catching the dog by the ear. Come to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's get off of this. I don't want to ruin the spirit. See, preacher, getting onto it. No, I'm trying to tell you how to get along.
Amen.
I remember an illustration that a preacher gave me. As a matter of fact, I think I got the illustration from that the older preacher that was downtown, Lindsay, that was downtown. No disrespect, Dr. Lindsay. He was old time, old school. Until some of them newfangled people got in there and got the new Bible and kind of went the way of the American Indian. But I think it was him that used the illustration. I never forgot it. And he was talking along these lines. And what he was talking about was the temptation to meddle with where you shouldn't meddle and to gossip. And he said there was an old man that went out and told some stuff that wasn't true about a man that he worked for or worked with. And he got down there, went on the town square, and he told everybody in the town square everything that had happened about that man's life. And then come to find out that about half of the stuff wasn't even true. And it bothered him and convicted him to the point he went in to see the preacher. And he told the preacher, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've messed up. I've said some things I shouldn't say. And I went back to the fellow and I'd asked him to forgive me and all that." And he said, "But I feel horrible about this. What should I do?" And the preacher looked at him and he said, "Go get you a feather pillow. And wait until a real windy day and go down in the town square and take your knife and cut that pillowcase and turn all those feathers out. And then 24 hours later, come back and gather up the pillow, the feathers." And the guy said, "Preacher," he said, "that's next to impossible." And he said, "Yes, sir. And it will be impossible for you to gather all the feathers of the gossip that you spread about that man. It can't be done." And then he put the cherry on it. "You should have never done it in the first place." Once it's out there, you can't get it back. Brother Chris can tell you more about it than I can, but they have a thing called metadata. And what that is the stuff that runs behind the scenes, stuff that you don't even know that they track, where they track all your marketing stuff and all that stuff. And I know more about it than you might think I know about it. And I know what drives it. I know it's money, because the love of money is the root of all evil, not all kinds of evil, the root of all evil. Yeah. And because of that, they're marketing things like that with that data that's there. And they know stuff out there. And once you've been out there and once you've said something, that stuff's out there from then on. You know what they're doing right now? Kids, if you'd listen to me, I wish you'd listen to me. I don't know if you will or not, but I wish you would. You know what they're doing now? Before you get your college, you know what they're pulling? They're pulling up all your social media. To see what you say and what you do. I know people that have not been able to get a job with the police department as well as other places because of things they said on social media. And rightfully so. They look like boneheads when you're reading that stuff. You've got a guy in front of you there in a suit and tie and got, he's high and tight. And then you read the stuff on social media. You're thinking, man, this guy's a stinking terrorist or something. Now, I'm telling you, you ought to be careful about that stuff. I'm telling you, if you want to create an enemy, you go ahead and say something or jump on they call it a thread or whatever. Jump on a thread or get on one of those things with about 10 of you on one thing and let your name participate in it. And even if you don't participate, they see your name there. And you know what? They'll never forget it. It's permanently inked on them like a tattoo on your arm.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You say what? It's tattlers. It's busybodies. It's talebearers. I hate to tell you this. I wish I didn't have to tell you this, but I spend a lot of time in the ministry the Lord's given me trying to straighten out messes where Christians have meddled in other people's mess. And sometimes the stuff they're saying is 100% true, but it does irreparable damage. I've learned this. Sometimes you give people enough rope, they'll either hang themselves or they'll wind up making a good lasso and fix it where they don't slip and fall anymore. But you got to give them time. Sometimes they didn't get it straight as quick as you did. Sometimes it might take them a while to get it done. But I'd be surprised how much the Holy Spirit can get in there if you pray for them.
Amen.
I wouldn't ask you this. It would be rhetorical in nature if I were to say how many of you have been hurt by a situation like that. Every hand in the building would go up. And you say, why? Well, because it's human nature. But if we know it's human nature, then refrain from it. You can destroy a good friendship that quick. Just like that. Just like that. Yeah, but this is what you said. I don't particularly care for texting. I'd have to do it sometimes. And you say, why? Because when somebody reads something, they don't read voice inflection. You read something and you think it said something. And you think, oh, I can't believe. Man, that head starts bobbing like a chicken running around with a head cut off. Oh, no, they didn't. And then you're sending a thing out. And then they call you on the phone. Hey, did you get my text? I was wondering why you didn't respond. Man, I just think you're the best thing since sliced bread. What? I thought you said you thought I was sliced bread. You're done. And now you can't go pick up the feathers. Are you with me? Boy, wouldn't it be a great blessing when people come to church and realize it's hands off. You say what? I'll show you in the passage in a little while. Sometimes the pastor has to kick people out. But you should never be rejoicing about that. I've had to do that on occasion. You say, why? Some people are perverts. You say, well, don't you give them another chance? Not here. You say, what? That's the repercussions for being a pervert. You say, well, you're speaking like somebody that doesn't have children or doesn't have a woman around. I'm not going to do that. You say, well, no, you give them a chance, invite them to your house and have dinner with them. I'm not doing it. They wouldn't do it in a public school. They wouldn't do it in a private school. And they wouldn't do it at a place of business. Now, why would you think that this is a cesspool for all the people to be able to do that? We don't do that here. Well, preacher, you're just a little hard because of that law enforcement background. Say it however you want to say it. It has to do with a biblical background. And the biblical background is every now and then you have to step up and do that. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I found sometimes, unless it's something that's just out of the way that way, if you give it time, you'd be surprised what preaching will knock off of you.
Amen.
I mean, just preaching the book. You'd be surprised what that book will do for you. If you let it have an effectual work on you. If you let it. Washing of the water of the what?
Word.
The Word. Well, if it's getting preached, guess what? Sooner or later, it'll have an impact on you. Anybody hear the books changed at all? Oh, well, one or two of you. Praise the Lord. The rest of you, stay with us a while. It'll get to you sooner or later. You got a bunch of people up here done somethings, is what I call them. Everywhere I go. When I was in Connecticut last week, I said, we have a choir back home. It's called the Done Somethings. And they're looking like, I said, done somethings. You mean like they've done something for the Lord? I said, no, the Lord's done something for them.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. So how do they sing? By letter. They have musical notes, preacher. The fellow said to me, the pro up there. I said, no, by letter. They open up and letter fly. These boys over here are getting pretty good. I can hear them. They're hitting these high notes and they're harmonizing or whatever. I got no idea what in the cat hair they're doing, except they're just up that they can hear and they know where to fall in the harmony. Well, I like it. You say why? Because it looks like I led them that way. You don't have to watch me lead music long for you to know I'm out of my comfort zone. All right, look at this thing in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're talking about an individual that's gotten idle, an individual that gets busy, a busybody, experts in other men's matters, for always wanting to know what's going on. You want to be careful about that. Notice he says verse 13, 4:13, make it 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit and glory of God resteth upon you. On your part is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Boy, what a blessing. The Lord said you're getting a little persecution, right? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Watch. But. Let none of you suffer as a murderer. That's a pretty major deal. Would you agree?
Yes.
How about a thief?
Yes.
I was always taught if you'll steal, you'll kill. Given the right set of circumstances, nothing worse than a miserable, stinking thief. Literally. I don't care if he's stealing a pencil or a paper clip. I can't stand a thief.
Right.
Taking something that don't belong to him. That just irritates the stew out of me. A murderer and a thief, pretty big deal. Or as an evildoer, that's somebody who is saying unjust evil of you. Things that are not true. They're just speaking because they don't like you. Just making things up. I know you folks will never do that. But notice the context is that they're being reproached. The idea, the thought is these are Christians. This isn't the world. This isn't news media. This is you and each other. Watch. An evildoer or as a what? Do you see the crowd that guy's with? Do you see the crowd that girl's with? The Lord's likening it unto a murderer. You say, I've never murdered anybody. You never killed anybody's reputation? You ever stolen anybody's purity by making people think or telling somebody something that's not your business to tell? I don't know if you know this or not. We've had people in here that have messed up. Woe be unto you if you happen to know about it and you let everybody know about it. You say, why? Because hammer time, Romans chapter 12, the Lord will take it out on you. And boy, when you go down, great will be the fall thereof. You know the best thing to do? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You got a passel full of kids coming up now. They ain't little squirts no more. They're growing up. And guess what? They grow up, they get in trouble sometimes. Some of them. You say, no, not I. Okay. You say, what do you do when they do? Ask the Lord to help them and forgive them and move on. You be careful. You know what he's doing? He's giving you an opportunity to pause and think, you know something? If all I got is the time to talk about everybody else, it must not be much of a relationship going on with me and him. Come back, if you will, please, back over to 1 Timothy. Let's try to get around that. 1 Timothy. Now, I realize that's kind of harsh. I understand that. In the Old Testament, you know what they would do if they found out you were spreading gossip and it wasn't true? You know what they'd do? They'd take you out and kill you. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I guess you could say I had some influences along the way and that kind of a thing. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Before you decide that you want to say something about somebody else, pause for just a moment and sit down there with the Lord and bow your head and say, now, Lord, before I say this, I'd like for you to remind me of anything that you've forgiven me of that hadn't been made public. And I just want to do that and say that I'm willing for whatever that is to be made public as soon as I make this public. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
You say, why? Well, at least a time or two in my life, the Lord has forgiven me of things, and I had crop failure. Come on, ma'am. Come on, ma'am. You never had crop failure? I know us guys have had it. You never had crop failure, ma'am?
Yes.
You say, what does that do? That's to help you remember. You know something? God was good about keeping that quiet. So I tell you what, maybe I'll do is just keep it quiet. Some things come out. You say, where? 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's noised about. Now you got to do something about it. Now there's an individual that has to step in and do something with it, but not until everybody knows about it. Because it's become so public, it has to be addressed. You don't have to be the prosecutor. Ladies and gentlemen, when you do that, you don't realize you step right into the spotlight. The person you're pointing at is not in the spotlight. They're looking at you because they're seeing whether or not your reputation can support your accusation. And the next thing you know, that spotlight begins to reveal all the cracks.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And before long, you start feeling the heat on you. I've had to deal with both young and old. I'm not trying to make it like I'm some kind of a guru or something, but I've seen some people truly broken and heartbroken over sin, and I guess some of you probably would kick them out. You know what I want to do? Come on in and join us. Well, preacher, you know what about what people? Who cares? These ladies are up here. If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I think about the woman at the well, I think about Mary Magdalene, I think about that cotton-picking Pharisee, if he just knew who it was touching him. Boy, you never want to get that way. You know what you want to say? Lord, but by the grace of God, that'd be me sure as I'm sitting here. You say never. Oh, come on now. Just a little kink in the road. Just a little turn at the right time. Just a little twist. You wouldn't be sitting here right now. You wouldn't be sitting here right now. You'd be sleeping it off from a weekend drunk. I believe in the boys here being hard on the kids and doing the best they can and all that kind of stuff, but also being gracious. Not condoning sin, but give them time to grow up. You say, why? I like to see them grow up and raise their own kids here. It's not a prison. We're just trying to give them a choice. Come to verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in two things. Notice what it is. Worthy of double honor. What does that mean? If you labor in word and doctrine, then you get a little more recognition than those that don't. For the scripture saith, verse number 8, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. In other words, what he's saying there is that there's some things that you ought to do to take care of the things spiritually. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he ministers to us spiritually and we take care of him carnally. Now that's all I'll say about that. I'm well taken care of. You folks have taken good care of me for 30 years. Everything I have right now, somebody gave me. Everything I have, somebody gave me. You say, what? God's people been good to me. God's been good to me. You say, why? I'm a testimony of y'all taking care of what God said to do. Now, I'm not going to back up from that and say, I'm going to tell you it's not a chance to get a raise. I'm telling you, God's been good to me because you've done what the Lord asked you to do. I certainly, you could tell by my girth here, I have a belt that looks like a fence around a chicken graveyard. You can tell I've been fed well. I'm not starving. We've been well taken care of. And you're to be commended for that.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you put the emphasis where it's supposed to be. I don't have the pressure of paying bills. I have time to study. I heard an old black preacher say one time, he was preaching for somebody, he was trying to help a fellow out there. And he said, my Lord, y'all folks here, y'all got this man so busy. He's so busy visiting and going and doing and everywhere he at. You having him try to preach on things he don't know nothing about. And then he paused and he said, you know why he don't know nothing about it? Because he don't have no time to study. He didn't sound very studied, but he has a PhD. He's a pretty smart fella. He said, you know why he don't have no time to study? You people keep him so busy around here doing all things you ought to be doing instead of letting him study. He said, labor and word and doctrine. That takes time to study. Acts chapter number 6, we're going to choose out some deacons. Why? So that we can give ourselves to prayer and study. Now, that's what's important. Now, you folks have done that. I'm giving you a commendation. I'm telling you, I've been well taken care of, and I appreciate it. There's never been any pressure on that. Now, years ago, a lot of years ago, I could tell you some sob stories, but I got to also tell you some of the sweetest times we've ever been through, and God never one time missed a lick. There were times and times and times and times and times again at the last minute, the Lord came through and came through and came through and came, banging you down the last spoonful of peanut butter. Back in those days, man, after we left down there and didn't have anything, stuff kept breaking. We go down there and we look at it. We buy $3 for $1 loaf of bread. Bread. I mean, if you still call it that. I mean, so crusty a brim wouldn't eat it, you know. That white stuff, it looked like Elmer's glue, you know, like it's plated out on a sheet there. You put a paper towel. She learned how to put a paper towel around it, wet one, and stick it in the microwave for just a little bit. That's before we knew that when you nuke it, it killed everything, you know. And it would soften it up like it just came out of the oven. It was good. We didn't have real butter back then. We had whatever we had back then. You come to the last end of that jar right there, and then all of a sudden there'd be a... And you hear the pitter-patter of feet running off, and there'd be money at the door. There'd be food at the door. There'd be deer at the door. There'd be fish at the door. You say, oh, come on. Oh, no, I'm telling you every time. I'm talking about bare cupboards. Now our cupboards right now, we look like we're getting ready for the tribulation or something. We got so much stuff in there, man, you could eat in there for a month. You say, what? Because the Lord's been good to us. Man, we're stocked up. We can't eat half of it anymore anyway, so y'all come on to our house. So here's what I want you to see. Let me try to get on through this thing here. This is a little bit uncomfortable for me. Come down, if you will. Don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Well, you certainly haven't muzzled me, and I sure do appreciate it very much. All right, he says in verse number 19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, you want to grab the rules here. That means you don't receive an accusation against somebody older, not just a pastor. You don't listen to that unless whoever it is accusing him is willing to go face him. That's what he just said. He's talking about on the receiving end. Do you see it? Look at it. Receive not an accusation. He's saying if somebody comes to you, your first retort is, have you told the preacher? Have you told the elder? I'll use Brother Bert sitting back there in the back there. He's on up there. He's about 70 or so. So he's got me by a couple of years. Somebody comes to you and said, you hear about Brother Bert Williams? You know the first thing you say? Have you gone to Brother Bert Williams? Matthew 18? Well, why are you telling me? If you're not willing to face him about it, don't be telling me about it.
Amen.
I'm not coming with you against him. You go tell him. Don't be telling me. That's what he said. Don't receive it unless two or three, somebody go to him and tell him yourself. The fellow said to me one time, he said, you know, I know about so-and-so in your church. I said, really? He said, yeah, you'd be surprised what I know about people in your church. I said, you'd be surprised what I know about you. I answer a fool according to his folly.
Yes.
And he said, well, you know, I think you should do something about it. I said, is it bothering you that bad? And he said, well, it kind of bothers me. I said, then you do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, well, I'm not the pastor. I said, well, you're acting like it. I said, do you ever think that maybe I might know something you don't know? And the fact is that you just came to me and told me you want me to tighten somebody else and use my authority against somebody that's your enemy. I said, I can tell you right now, I'm not saying a word to him.
Right.
I said, if it bothers you that bad and you think it's got to be fixed, go fix it.
Right.
Galatians 6 him. Yeah. You that are spiritual, go restore such a one. And be careful unless you also be tempted.
Right.
If it's that big of a deal, put it on me, go fix it.
Yeah.
Now, he's giving you some real good practical advice. You know what that does? That stops in its tracks. Somebody running a bunch of foolishness out. Why didn't you go tell them? Well, I thought I'd tell you. I don't want to hear it. If it's that big a deal, then do what Matthew 18 says, or don't talk to me about it.
Right.
Amen. Good preaching.
Amen.
You say, why? Sometimes old people get accused of things they're not guilty of.
Right.
We might be crabby every now and then. Especially, you know, if sugar's running a little low. Right? Need a Snickers bar or something. You might occasionally, you're not quite regular as you used to be. You get a little crabby, you get backed up a little bit. Something young people don't know nothing about. But changes your life a little bit, you know. But let me ask you a question. Sometimes there's just a bunch of stuff where the problem is that they're not in line with you and your foolishness.
Right.
And it bothers you that they just seem to be stuck. I know a church here in town, and this is what the elderly lady told me that came. Now, I realize elder can be used for a pastor, and I get all that. I understand the passage, but I'm giving you a practical application. She came to me, and she said, could I ask you a question, Pastor? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, do you have contemporary music? And I said, no, ma'am, we don't. She said, do you have electric guitars? I said, no, ma'am, we don't. I said, occasionally somebody comes in there with a bass or something, but generally speaking, but not anything that can get carried away. I said, why do you ask? She said, well, I'd rather not say where I go to church, but we were told, quote, you old people need to get out and move away for the new generation. I said, well, ma'am, I don't know where you go, but I'm going to tell you this. If you old people pull out, that church won't last 6 months because the young people ain't paying the bills.
Amen.
And she said, I never thought about that. She said, but we're made to feel like we're just trash and we're in the way. And she said, and they've got this contemporary stuff going on. You know what happened? I know for a fact she left the church. I invited her to come, but she's so embittered about church. You know, she's done with the whole thing. Been at that church for over 20 years. And preacher comes in there, let's pick it up, pep it up, move it up, get the young people going, praise and worship hour, get a worship team in here, get some girls jumping around leotards with some of these little streamer things. Oh yeah, Baptist church, Baptist church, Baptist church. Ran the old people out. Boy, you better watch it. You better watch it. All right, one more thing here I want to show you here. He says this. He said, let them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. Sometimes you have to get on to somebody. Sometimes you might have to say something to somebody. And sometimes if their sin's been public, you got to address it in a public manner. But it's rare. Everybody's sin doesn't need to be made public. If it's serious enough, like the Apostle Paul. Now, let me show you this. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. You know the passage. Let me just tell you about it. You can turn there if you want to, and then I'll give you the rest of this next Sunday. I'll be in Indianapolis tomorrow. But at any rate, here's the thing I want you to know. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. You find there the Apostle Paul is addressing a situation there that is an obscene situation where there is a young man there that is involved with his stepmother. You see that in 1 Corinthians 5? And they've gone to the man and told him to quit, and he won't quit. Now, your Bible's a real book. You ain't got to turn on the TV to see that. It's right there. And so they go to them, and they won't get the thing right. And not just the boy won't quit, the woman don't quit either. That's what's implied in the passage. And so they go to him, and then the whole thing, they take a witness in there, and they don't do it. They go through the steps of Matthew 18. And then Paul says, well, we bring it before the church. And they brought it before the church. It was noised abroad in the church, and he still won't quit. And Paul says this, here's your final step. Turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Let the devil kill him. It's that serious. Now, why does Paul do that? For two reasons, ladies and gentlemen. Number one is to warn other people that are unruly, you don't get to do this and not get the judgment of God on you. It's to try to put the fear of God in other people and also to try his best to regain that individual. Now, by the time you get to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, you find the guy has now repented. He's gotten things right. And now the church has said, nothing doing. We ain't letting you back in. And Paul said, go ahead and forgive him, lest Satan should get an advantage of you. Did you see that? Satan can get you if you don't, and Satan can get you then if you don't forgive them. You got to watch that. You say, what? They did something so bad, Paul had to deal with it publicly. What a horrible thing to have written in the Bible. You know what happened to David? David's over there looking out the roof one day and sees Bathsheba over there. And you know what the rest of that story is? And he comes down there and she winds up pregnant. And the next thing you know, that the baby dies. And the Lord makes a public example of that boy. You say, why? His sin was public. What he did, everybody knew about. He's the king. It cost him 4 sheep for a sheep. David never complained about it. But God said, I'm not a respecter of persons. You're going to do something like that and everybody knows about it, I'm going to have to make a public deal out of it. Now, what am I trying to tell you? All right, you got something you've done. Plead the blood, ask the Lord to forgive you, and stop it. And pray to the Lord that he doesn't have to bring it out there. One of the worst whippings that he could ever give you is the shame of other people knowing. Yes. That's a horrible whipping. You find out this about you and find out that about you and find out this about you. My goodness, boy, those lashes come down hard. You say, what do I do? Beg for mercy. God, I deserve it. And if you did it, it'd be all right. You'd be God and I deserve it. But can you give me a pass? 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 Please give me a pass. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm begging you, Lord. I'm pleading with you, Lord. Please give me a pass. Give me a pass. Beg him to give you a pass. And you may find that he will. But if you keep on, one day, you know what? He's a good father. He's going to quit warning you and he's going to have to take some action. All right, let's stand together and be dismissed. Sure has been a great day today.